It's 3 o'clock somewhere. Time for a My Mochi ice cream snack. My Mochi ice cream is cool, creamy scoops of premium ice cream wrapped in sweet, pillowy dough. And get this, all of My Mochi's fabulous flavors like strawberry, mango, double chocolate, and cookies and cream are only around 80 calories per piece. Talk about a guilt-free, indulgent experience. Each box of My Mochi ice cream has 6 perfectly portioned, gluten-free mochis that are great for grab-and-go. So feel good while curbing your afternoon cravings or the midnight munchies. Yeah, you know who you are with the joyfully chill sensation of My Mochi ice cream. Find My Mochi ice cream at Target or visit MyMochi.com to locate a grocery store near you.
Please welcome Drew Barrymore.
Show for you, and at the end of the show, I'm in the hot seat for a game of Truth or Dare. Someone in the audience is going to ask me anything and dare me to do anything, and guess what? I go there. So let's do this. Let's get the headline. Alrighty, it's that time for Drew's News, and with me at the desk is my trusty co-pilot and my love, Ross.
Hi everybody, and happy holidays. Hi.
Rossi, I'm excited because you've got a story for us.
I do. First up, we've got a sparkly hairstyle that's perfect for the holiday season. Take a look at this. Dazed reports TikTok is covered in fairy hair. Yeah, it's a glittery hair trend where people have actually, they weave tinsel into their hair to make it look sparkly, which is so cute. And celebrities are all over it. Here's Kacey Musgraves showing off her shimmer. Don't you want to look like that, right? And fairy hair is everywhere on TikTok with over 90 million views.
Wow.
I would rock this so hardcore, but I want it like in a rat tail. Just like that. You know, it's like back here, so I can just play with it.
I do love a rat tail. Maybe we can bring those back, too. Uh-huh. I'm into this tinsel hair thing.
I think so, too, and I think it's the perfect time of the year to try this. If it's sort of on, you're on the bubble of, like, could I pull this off or not? Holidays, New Year's, yes.
Tis the season.
Tinsel the season.
All right, well, next up, if you're dating someone new and you don't know how to tackle the holiday gift situation with them, we've got some advice. The Zoe reports that they talk to dating pros who say the key is to make it thoughtful, not lavish. They say that one ideal gift is something that you can do together, like a gift certificate for a restaurant or a cooking class, instead of expensive jewelry. Invest in that little gag gift that kind of keeps it light, references a joke rather than I'm dying to marry you.
Yeah.
So the headline is lighthearted, thoughtful, don't break the bank. And I like this advice, you know, Ross thought.
Well, there it is that awkward thing when you're first dating somebody and like, you know, say I got you like a Starbucks gift card and you got me like a Tiffany bracelet. I'd be like, oh, okay, what do we do? So there is that thing. It's like, where are we in our relationship? Are we getting each other the really thoughtful, nice thing? Or are we just sort of still courting? I think it's actually nice. I was thinking, what do you get somebody that, what about giving them your favorite book? You know what I mean? Like something about you that gives, this is a little insight to me.
I like this. Yeah. I like that. Clap of hands. Who would be into that?
Something, here's a way to get to know me better.
I think the question we all want to know is like, what is too much? Because there are high stakes when you get someone, especially at the beginning of a relationship.
Totally.
Because one person might be kind of toes in the water and one person might be like, I am jumping into the deep end with bricks tied to my feet and I want in.
Yes.
And you're just like, a present can really like tip the scales of too much. Sometimes it's intimidating.
It can be, if you get somebody something that's too much, it can be, it could lead to a beautiful place, but it could also lead to
Your favorite book can be like too much for some people to handle.
You think
it's
so?
True. It's happened to me. I know.
Oh, did you give the book or did you get the book?
I gave the book. I also bought someone like this really cute little like plant and they let it die.
Oh.
And I was like, that's such a metaphor for this relationship.
Yes. But that's also a good to know. If you get someone a plant that can't handle it, they can't handle it.
Yeah, I'm also like, if you can't take care of a little tiny plant, then... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I guess, like, what would you ideally like if you were dating someone and you were developing your feelings?
Okay, I'm there. I'm picturing it.
But like, what gift would make you go, I think I do like this person?
Not a plant.
Well, I thought a plant was nice.
Maybe a succulent, because you don't really have to water those, you know?
So you want something low maintenance.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what Wellington got me for our first Christmas. It was so special to me.
So special you can't remember.
I can't remember what it was.
All right, well, good news. That love story worked out. So whatever he did, it worked.
Oh, God.
Here's one thing, like, my best friend literally just texted me, and she was like, ooh, I'm worried to put this thing out there on, like, social media. Should I say it or not? And I said, if you're questioning it, don't do it.
Don't do it. That's good.
That is my advice. If somewhere in your brain you're getting little thoughts, somewhere in your gut something's not ringing right, listen to that.
Mm-hmm.
Go. Your gut is there for a guide. And I think...
Yes. Not just with this, but for everything.
For everything.
Your gut is your North Star.
If you're uncertain and questioning it, listen to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I also say, take a risk. Life is short. And if somebody doesn't like what you get them, the next moving on, thank you for giving me the time to find somebody better.
Thank you so much.
Better suited for me and you.
Absolutely. All right, up next. You know, there's so many uses for TikTok. And this holiday, you can even find gift wrapping hacks. How about that?
I'll take it.
The New York Post. They're reporting TikTok has tips for how to wrap even the most pain in the butt gifts, like things that are round. Why are they so hard to wrap? Candles, anything in a tube. Well, check out this hack from Lenia. She cuts slits into wrapping paper to give you an easy fold at each end. How many times have you tried to wrap something like this? Drew, I would love to give this a shot, all right?
I have to tell you, I have never seen this trick, and I am so into it.
Well, can I just... point out what we're wrapping with, by the way.
Okay, first of all, okay.
Okay, can I just show this out?
Paper?
This is adorable. Look at this. This is custom wrapping paper from a company called Gift Wrap My Face. And I have, look, there's little Rossi Ross ones, and we have Drew ones, too. Now, does the hack work? You've been doing it. Does it work?
I'm doing it right now. So far, side one is working.
Okay.
You know, Martha Stewart actually changed my wrapping game. She came on the show and taught me about hospital corners. I've never been a better wrapper since.
Really?
I mean, shocker, Martha Stewart changed my life.
Well, she does know rappers. She has a show with Snoop Dogg. Hey!
No kidding, right? Okay,
so stupid.
I gotta tell you, this is really working, Rossi. Like, this is so good. Look at this.
Drew.
Perfect.
So smart. Well done, Linnea. Hi.
Well, Linnea, thank you for changing my wrapping game. Literally, you and Martha Stewart, not bad company.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanna thank Gift Wrapped My Face for this adorable paper that they made with our faces on it, hence the Wrap My Face. But guess what? Everyone in the audience today is getting a 5-roll bundle of personal gift wrapping from Gift Wrap My Face.
Hey!
So that you can put your face on your holiday wrapping too.
How fun.
I know.
I'm keeping this roll for me. Thank you. I love this. Thank you.
Gift wrapping game raised. We'll be right back.
And that really works.
Welcome back to Drew's News. What's up next, Rossi?
All right, well, we've all heard that old saying, a way to a person's heart is through their stomach. Well, a new poll says that's true. The Good News Network reports a one-poll survey of over 2,000 adults said over half of them said that was true for them. The poll also found 75% of people said good food can actually change their mood. Yes. And 62% said yes. that it was very important for potential romantic partners to be just as excited about food as they are, Drew.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but at breakfast, I'm thinking about lunch. At lunch, I'm thinking about dinner. And at dinner, I'm thinking about breakfast tomorrow.
Yeah, always. So,
could you ever date a person who was like, I'm not a foodie?
Not even a little. But I do have a cute story, actually. It sucks that my best friend is Cameron Diaz, because it sounds like I'm name dropping. We met when I was 14 and she was 16, junior model, worked at a coffee house. So we've been, you know, sisters ever since. Anyway, okay, so I drove her one night. She had a date with this guy, Benji, and she was like, I really, really like him. And, I really want to make a special meal for him.
Cute.
Hashtag hook 'em. Uh-huh. And so I drove her to the grocery store and she picked out this like perfectly, you know, set meal that she wanted, made it for him. And of course I asked her the next day, I'm like, how did it go? And she was like, it worked.
The meal
and
worked.
They are married and they have a daughter and it ended happily ever after.
See,
so
what food can do?
They're a testament.
Yeah.
Like I remember driving my girlfriend so that she could plan a meal to make her way through a man's stomach into his heart, and it worked. They're married with kids, and it's just like, so I see the proof.
Totally. Last night, I made a white bean chicken chili for Wellington, and when he tasted that, he looked at me, and I knew he loved me.
Oh, I love
good.
That.
Yeah,
oh, that's so exciting. Yeah. Well, speaking of culinary wonders, we have got a new spin on one of the coziest snacks of all time in today's Food News. All right, so mega talent Scarlett Johansson. She's got a Tony, a BAFTA, countless Golden Globes, but there's a new achievement to add to that list of things, and it's the reinvented pizza bite. That's right, check out Snow Days Pizza Bite. They are organic, grain-free, and cook up in minutes in the oven. It's the same cozy classic that we all love, mm-hmm. but this time it's made with top-of-the-line ingredients.
And you know pizza is a gateway food for me, so I'm really taking one for ScarJo here, okay?
But these are grain-free. And oh, my God.
Oh, my.
I just took one bite. I couldn't even finish my sentence, Rossi.
I'm not even listening to you.
These are not only grain-free, they're guilt-free. These are incredible. It also tastes very, very delicious. Mm-hmm. Lots of flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible umami.
Mm-hmm. I'm getting like, imagine if you had a pizza with spinach. Oh, there's different colors?
Oh
what?
My God.
Get out
oh,
here.
Yeah, there's different flavors.
What?
She has some with meat, then squash, vegetables, and like
ooh,
I said.
Look
I,
at this one. Look inside. Look, look, look.
I know Scarlett. She really doesn't mess around. No. She knows what's amazing out there and she's never going to compromise.
That one's even better.
Oh my God, this is incredible.
Get out of here.
I mean, we'll be right back. These are incredible.
So delicious.
Next, all new Drew. He is the one who returned to the Matrix. I'm not a fighter, I'm a lover.
No, because if you're a lover, you gotta be a fighter. Because if you don't fight for your love, what kind of love do you have? No, I'm kidding.
It's Keanu Reeves! It was my birthday. You put me on your motorcycle. You took me on the ride of my life.
We probably went fast.
All new Drew on the next Drew Barrymore Show. We've got just the thing for you. Welcome back here in the kitchen. I'm with my culinary partner in crime and my dearest friend, Chef Pilar Valdez. And when I say culinary partner in crime, this is our new, turns out it's a New York Times bestseller.
Woo!
Thank gosh. So our cookbook, Rebel Homemaker. We have a recipe in here that is very near and dear to my heart. This is the squash gratin with a cashew cream. And one of the things that I love most about this, Pilar, is because I think that those beautiful, hearty, creamy, you know, fulfilling sides are such a big part of like holiday
Absolutely.
Dinner planning.
Mm-hmm.
And this is such a healthy approach.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many recipes in here that we swap out little different ingredients so that you're really getting something delicious, but it's really healthy and we kind of sneak it in there and you never know the difference. So from this page, we are gonna show you how you can make this too for your Christmas dinner or really any time of the year. So let's get cooking.
Squash gratin, here we go. So first step, Drew, is we're gonna make the cashew cream. So it's basically vegan, and all you have to do is soak the raw cashews.
How long do you soak them for, Pilar?
So if you do hot water, if you soak them in hot water, you can actually get away with just 1 hour. Mm-hmm. But you can also just stick them in the fridge overnight. Yep, and it's totally fine. So these are the soaked cashews, and we're gonna pour in a little bit of water.
1 cup of water.
Mm-hmm. And then some Dijon, because this dish, it has the cream, it has almond milk, it has these beautiful caramelized onions. So it tends to go, it can go a little sweet, so the Dijon is gonna cut through that really nicely.
Also, if you're like a cooking show fanatic like I am, here's some apple cider vinegar.
Lovely.
You can always hear judges talking about, I need a little bit of that acid.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a perfect balancer for that. And then you put in the miso next. Yeah.
And the miso is just going to sort of round it out, give that umami.
And salt. It's really, it just brings the dish to a whole other level.
All right. So we're going to blend that up. Here we go. Me and my blender. All right. That feels really good. So
now
as
I got
we
it.
Were doing that...
And this is our beautiful blender, and I will tell you, it rivals the best of the best. I'm so proud of it, because that blender has really got a function for you. Okay, so I'm going to swap out my cashew cream here.
Absolutely. So we've got some red onion sauteing, and they have some sage and some thyme, and I like to add a lot of black pepper. And then basically what you're going to do is put in a little bit of chopped thyme, a little bit of nutmeg. You can actually try it with cinnamon. Cinnamon and nutmeg, those warm spices are really great with the squashes, which is what we're using today. So you're gonna saute that until it gets nice, caramelized, and all those flavors start to sing and
but
blend.
But not brown.
Definitely not, definitely not burnt. You want them to get like soft and caramely.
Mm-hmm.
And then all you have to do is just turn off the heat and actually like whisk in or stir in your almond milk. And I just whisked in my cashew cream as well, which is what we just pureed earlier. And so these are if you've not seen them before, these are what the delicata squash looks like.
And you literally just slice them up into rings, and they make a beautiful side dish in almost any preparation. And they're so easy.
And you don't have to peel them. So what I'm going to do actually is going to start building the dish. So you have your sauce all ready to go. And I'm going to use this guy, I think. And what you're going to do is basically pour in a little bit of that sauce into the bottom of your dish. And then you're going to take these slices of delicata. You're basically going to shingle them, kind of like a roof, you know, a little bit overlapping in this beautiful manner. So I'm going to continue layering, but actually, Drew, you have a almost finished casserole over there. If you want to do the last layers, and then we can just pop that in the oven.
I do.
And it's going to be good to go. So you want to finish with the cream sauce on top.
Yep.
And get it kind of into those edges, because what we're going to do, Drew, is basically bake it until the squash is fully cooked and fully tender, but not mushy. So that's going to be about 40 minutes. So we're going to pop that in the oven. 400 degrees for about 40 minutes.
400 at 40 minutes.
Until the squash is tender. And I'm going to grab this guy. Ooh, he's far. Ooh. Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. Also, one thing that for me always changes the face of a dish, and it's what restaurants do, and that's what separates a home cook from a professional chef. It's as simple as a garnish.
Crispy sage. So all you do is basically take like a tablespoon of olive oil, drop a sage leaf in, and it's gonna sort of sputter and frizzle for like 30 seconds, pull it out, paper towel, salt it, and you use that as your garnish, and it gives this wonderful aroma, a nice little crisp texture. And there you have it.
I'm so proud of this dish. It's one of the many recipes in our cookbook that we're so excited to have developed and share with you.
I'm digging in.
Oh, it's
it smells so good.
It's so good. I just want to eat right out of the bowl.
I know, Laura. Seriously. Go for it.
It's hard for me to be proper in times like this, because my true self just wants to motorboat right there inside the bowl. I love you.
Love you.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Like, ooh. Why is it that when food is so good, it makes me mad? When food is so good, it just makes me straight up mad. And I guess that's why we called it Rebel Homemaker.
Yeah.
Because we all want to be not perfect. I think that's the name of the game right now. Let's not pretend. Let's not encourage that in each other. Let's just be the unique individuals that each one of us are. And to want to be a homemaker is to make a space that gives you that mental wellness, something that you know going out and working so hard for, there is the payoff. And if you want to bring people into that home and be an entertainer and include them in that privilege, what a wonderful way to live. So let's all be rebel homemakers.
Cheers.
And enjoy the holiday season. Next guest from The Vampire Diaries, How to Get Away with Murder, and his role as Nathan in HBO's Insecure. Please welcome Kendrick Sampson!
Thank you very much.
It feels so weird because this was not like our vernacular back in the day, but I was binging you all last night. I wanted to catch up on everything that's happening in season 5 in Insecure. We're approaching the season finale.
The season finale is coming up. Series finale.
I was just going to say.
Yeah, series finale.
You guys just do such a phenomenal job at showing how human beings function.
Yeah. What's so beautiful about Insecure is it's baked into the title. You have to explore those gray areas that make us human. Yes. And that is the best part of it to me, that is, you know.
So well said.
You know what I'm saying? It's beautiful to explore that. That is our humanity.
I feel so connected to, I don't even want to say their characters. Also, she does that brilliant Judd Apatow thing where, you know, you use like real names so it kind of transcends. You're like, who's the real person, who's
right,
the character?
Right, right.
Which is great because, I mean, there's a reason that people do that, because you want to break down the barriers of the sort of fraudulence of acting
and
make it more realistic and relatable. And you guys do that so well on the show.
Yeah, I think about her a lot with, you know, Will Smith, right, with Fresh Prince, because it was his name. And
that's
we were trying, it had a hard time dissociating, you know, him from the character. And I think that's bled into all the other characters as well, because I get called Nathan all the time. It's usually somebody yelling at me for what I did to Issa. And then I have to remind them, me and Issa have a great relationship. You know, we text all the time, we're good. You know, I'm not Nathan, please don't.
But also, okay, like, so you ghosted her? Is that what they're upset about?
There's ghosting, there's bad communication. There's also just the fact that people want to have teams, you know, relationship teams.
You know, but then it's like she put you in the friend zone. When she cries into your mouth, by the way, is like one of my favorite things in the world. I don't know what it is about women, but if it's like been a while or like we're just vulnerable, like we usually cry like during a makeout and we're just, I know we all just want to say like, I'm sorry, it's not, this isn't representative of all the feelings I'm feeling. You're like, I'm feeling so many feelings.
Yeah, it's a little awkward. It's a little awkward How do you navigate
it? It doesn't happen every time, but it does happen.
Right, right.
And I was happy to see that represented in a show. I don't normally see that. It's like the hot sex scene is not how it goes every single time. I'm sorry. We're humans. They're so complex. We're such intricate creatures. I don't even know how we keep ourselves uncracked like a little egg every day.
I think that's beautiful. That's the essential part of that show that makes it so beautiful is those realistic situations where you feel like it's a voyeuristic experience and it's always going to be what you don't expect.
Well, I root for you too because your backstory really spoke to me as someone who started young in this business. Hello, diapers. when you were 10 years old, you told your mom something.
I told my mom I wanted to act. And she was like, uh-huh. Here's the Houston Chronicle. Find an agent. So I flipped through the newspaper and I found some ads with agencies on them. I called them up and they called back my mom, obviously, because I didn't have my own phone. And we're like, your 10-year-old son is setting up an appointment to come in and interview for an agent. You know, is this okay? And she's like, yeah, as long as he does the work. And that's how she's always been. She says, if you do the work, I'll support it. And I did.
And then you moved to L.A. and you struggled.
Oh, yeah. When I was 18, I moved to L.A. and I got all my ducks in a row. I was like, I'm going to get this apartment. I'm going to get whatever. It wasn't an apartment. It was a room in somebody's house, which was very weird for me coming from Texas. But I got kicked out. I got kicked out. And within a month, not even a month, and I had to live out of my car for a couple months, going from place to place on people's couches, you know, whatever, having my whole life packed up in the back of my car. And finally, you know, I had met this woman in church who a lot of people think is my biological grandma because we look just alike, you know, and we've spent so much time together. I lived with her for 5-6 years, and she was my roommate. Met her in church. She knew I didn't have anybody. I'm like, shed a little tear because she passed last year because of COVID in December. So it's coming up on the anniversary. But I didn't have anybody to celebrate my birthday with. So she made me a meal for my birthday. And that's when she offered to if I could stay with her for a while I get back on my feet. And, you know, then it was 5 beautiful years after that. That was my roommate, my 88, 89, 90-year-old roommate. And it kept going.
And what is her name?
Yeah.
So you called her a name, but she has another name. What was your name?
Her name is Honora, but she told me, and this is the funny thing, she told me when I moved in, I'm trying not to cry, she told me when I moved in that I couldn't call her by her name. I had to call her something else. Everybody else calls her mom or has some sort of endearing nickname for her. I'm from the country. You know, I'm like, all right, it took me forever, and she also couldn't remember my name. So she would just sometimes look at me and go, She called me Kenneth. She called me Kendall. She called me Henry. She called me everything. And I would just do the same thing because I didn't know what to call her but her name. Miss Honora or something, Mrs. Honora or something, you know. So I would go, excuse me, you know. And then finally I thought about it and I'm like, I'm country, you know, my grandma had passed a couple years before, so Mama was freed up and I started calling her Mama, and now there are so many people in LA who don't know her name. They just know Mama.
Mama.
Yeah.
I think your mom and Mama are these wonderful angels.
Oh yeah.
Who gave you these incredible values.
Yeah.
And we root for you all the more because you took not the path of least resistance. You took the hard road.
I'll say this. When I moved to LA, I had an intention of connecting with black folks more because there was so much racism in the industry and in Texas, and I thought I was going to get to LA and there would be no racism or less racism. I was fooled, but I was surrounded by all these amazing black women who introduced me to black male figures that would, you know, inspire me and make sure that I was fed and introduce me to families and such. And it's exactly what you said. I learned nothing more than you have to be really intentional about building your community around you based in good values. Because all their whole, and it has to be rooted in liberation, because their whole objective with me was to make sure that I was fed, that I was cared for, and that I was more liberated than they were coming up. And there's nothing else that I could, I have nothing else to credit to my success, because they created the environment that I could grow in.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for teaching us. So much of it is, again, sharing our stories and matriculating that life experience. Everybody has a story to tell. Thank you for sharing every bit of yours, and we are rooting you on alongside of it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For coming on.
I appreciate
Kendrick
you.
Sampson, the final episode of Insecure, the groundbreaking show, The Goddess Issa Rae, will air next Sunday, December 26th on HBO, and it's available to stream on HBO Max, of course. Oh, I don't want this show to go away, but I'm so glad it gave us all these years of what it did. Thank you so much. We'll be right back. Thank you. Anyone else hungry? Ah!
Hey Drew, it's Marlon Shotland with Urban Bliss Life, and today I'm going to show you how to make this cheesy, pull-apart Christmas tree bread.
I like to use 2 tubes of crescent roll dough. You'll also need 8 mozzarella sticks, each sliced into 4 equal pieces. Prepare a baking sheet by lining it with parchment paper, then set it aside. Start by opening the tubes of crescent roll dough. You're going to want to take some kitchen shears to cut each of those triangles in half. Take one of the sliced mozzarella pieces and place it at the wide end of one of the dough triangles. Roll up the dough until you reach the end peak and use your fingers to gently press and tuck in the sides. Begin placing the rolled dough pieces onto the prepared baking sheet with parchment paper and form the shape of a tree. Gently push the dough pieces together so there aren't any big spaces between the dough. Now use a pastry brush and brush the egg wash over the entire top and sides of the dough. Bake at 375 degrees Fahrenheit for 20 to 25 minutes. Melt the butter in the microwave and whisk in the garlic powder and half of the chopped parsley. Once you remove the baked bread from the oven, immediately brush the melted butter mixture over the entire tree. Then sprinkle Parmesan cheese and finally sprinkle the remaining chopped parsley over the entire tree. Serve this immediately so your guests can enjoy the warm cheesiness of this pull-apart bread.
That recipe looks mwah! Well, it is officially that time of the year. Sleigh bells, candy cane, and old Saint Nick. But one Houston mom is teaching the importance of representation this year and is making sure that all the kids in Texas feel seen this holiday season. I love this story and this person so much. Take a look.
Hi, my name is Megan Butler Coleman, and I live in Houston, Texas. I am the owner and the founder of a company by the name of The Black Santa Houston. And I founded the company about 3 years ago in 2019 for my son, Luke. It's amazing how children change your lives. For me, all I wanted to do was have an opportunity for Luke to take a photo with Santa when he was 10 months old. And little did I realize that I wasn't actually going to be able to find exactly what I was looking for. A person that was a reflection of my family and that had a natural beard. After a search for more than 2 years, when Luke turned almost 3 years old, I was able to connect with a very, very dear friend of mine, Oni, and we were able to start Be Black Santa Houston. And now, straight from the North Pole, we have created this amazing experience and a new tradition in Houston where all families have the opportunity to meet a Santa that is a reflection of their family. And that just provides a little additional Christmas cheer to a time in which we have a very, you know, standard image that we usually see of Santa, but we are allowing for all families to see themselves through Santa, through the Black Santa Houston. Honestly, for me, it's just, it has me over the moon, and we honestly want to celebrate Christmas every day.
Megan Butler Coleman is joining us now via Zoom. Megan, how are you?
Oh my gosh, hi. So good, hi.
Megan, You are just my hero. I mean, what started off as a photo session for your son has grown into something so meaningful for so many people in the city of Houston. Please tell us, you know, what your intention was.
Thank you so much, Drew. I don't know why it wasn't here in Houston or just available to all the families, but I'm just so overjoyed and excited that we were able to create an experience for families all over Houston, even in cities beyond. And beyond photos, I just have to, you know, tell a very special thank you to our photographer, because he's able to help capture these moments and these magical moments with the families that are just traditions that are lasting. And now we even have Mrs. Claus joining us. And so Santa's on the road. He's traveling to cities like Killeen, Texas, to hospitals. We even have families, Drew, flying in from Seattle and Oklahoma, Louisiana, just to come and have an opportunity to just have that magical moment. It just overjoys me. It's just so exciting.
I don't know how this is not a standard norm. I think what you are doing is so revelatory. I want to see you expand it beyond Texas. Thank you for everything you are doing in that state. But I'm like, how can we help you build this out? Because what you have built is so incredible.
Thank you, Drew.
It's just wonderful. It's just wonderful. Thank you so much for doing this. Now, I think it's time actually to meet Santa. Can we bring him out?
Bring out Santa, please.
Hello!
This organization to me is so groundbreaking and mind-blowing that I don't know how it's not in every city across the globe. And how do we get there? Because you see over 500 children in Houston.
Yes, yes.
And may I ask, as the start, the seed of this most important journey that you and Megan are doing, how do we take this all the way? Because it's just so important.
Drew, actually, it is the joy of the magic of Christmas. You know, we want to have our families to have traditions that they love. And part of that tradition is to have our kids to take pictures with Santa. So that's some of the things that we've talked to Megan about. And that's something that we've been doing for just 3 years, but it's getting bigger and bigger. And it's so much more than the picture. It's a tradition that families really value.
And you're... This means so much to me, and you've had such a big impact on the city of Houston. What have you learned from that model that we think we can take elsewhere?
Drew, I've learned that we have to make sure that kids at a very young age, they begin to see images of themselves, regardless of their color, race, or creed. That's very important. So when kids say, Mommy, I want to be a doctor. Daddy, I want to be a teacher.
Yes.
When they see those images really young, it's a reflection that they can actually be that one day. So the sooner they start to see those images, the sooner they can know that they can actually do it and they can become exactly what they want to be.
If you see it, you can be it.
Absolutely.
Now, I hear you do so much charity work and have a local outreach program coming. So I would love to let you know that we want to give you guys $5,000 to help buy toys for all the kids.
We thank you and love you so much, Drew, for what you're doing, for helping us to spread the word of how important diversity is in a diverse world.
I am in awe of what you guys do. It is an honor to talk about your program, and let me help expand it. Thank you, Santa.
Thank you, Drew.
And thank you, Megan. I can't wait to do more. Happy holidays. We'll be right back.
the one who returned to the Matrix. I'm not a fighter, I'm a lover.
No, because if you're a lover, you gotta be a fighter. Because if you don't fight for your love, what kind of love do you have? No, I'm kidding.
It's Keanu Reeves! It was my birthday. You put me on your motorcycle. You took me on the ride of my life.
We probably went fast.
All new Drew on the next Drew Barrymore Show. Or dare. That's right. You get to ask me anything or dare me to do anything. And today we have Gia Zampella. Thank you so much for being here, Gia.
Thank you. I flew in from LA last night. I think you're familiar.
I am. Are you kidding with this Valley girl accent? Yes. Gia, truth or dare?
Truth.
Okay.
Who was the last person you were like stalking, creeping on social, and did you find anything good? Come on, Drew.
Okay, I'm on a dating app, and all the men are really quippy and coy. They won't tell you who they are or what they do, and all their Instagram accounts are private. So yes, sometimes I Google their name. I do a little like, and then I'm like, oh, finally, I found the name, and I just am trying to figure out who they are. And usually I resent them by the time I figured out who they are, that they made it this hard. But yeah, I totally Google guys on my dating app because I can't figure out who they are on the dating app.
Nice.
And recently, one guy I found out owned a bakery. Another one was a meditator. Another one was a finance guy. And I will tell you this, and don't feel sorry for me because it's just what happens to all of us women out there. No one has connected with me. It makes you feel like such a loser. And then you're like, you know what? It's just hard out there. It's hard out there for everybody. It's hard in person. It's hard on dating apps. It's vulnerable, but you keep trying and you fill your life up with so much that it becomes secondary. I don't think my happiness is on this dating app. I think a cherry on top to my life at some convenient, cool, inspiring, unexpected time might be in there, but that's all it is. So does that answer your question, Gia?
I think it does. I'm manifesting somebody for you, so.
Thank you.
It's gonna happen. When you want it.
I am desperate in plenty of areas in my life, and dating isn't one of them.
I love that.
Isn't that so refreshing?
Yeah, refreshing.
Thank you for this conversation.
Thank you.
This is so fun. All right, that's all the time we have. Thank you so much. Choosing to spend your time with us. Thank you, Gia. We make this show for you, so take it with you.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to the Drew Barrymore Show podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.